Start on this Wednesday morning in central Wisconsin at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Currently, fair skies. Temperature stands at 63 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes, and it is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have not downloaded that Civic Media app, what are you waiting for? We've had some upgrades to it. It is an outstanding way to keep up to speed with Civic Media, Bull Falls Radio, all the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, coming up on the program in hour number two at 9:15, we'll have our bi-weekly visit with the Grand Theater Performing Arts Foundation here of Wausau. Usually it's Sean Wright, expecting Tammy Stasinski, the public relations head of the Grand Theater, to come in, talk about what's going on at the Grand as they are selling tickets for the upcoming 2023-2024 season. So Tammy Stasinski will be coming in at 9:15 this morning. And as we do every other Wednesday, very happy to welcome in here for hour number one, Citizen Bob. Bob, look, Bob, good to have you back in.
Well, thanks for having me out here. And I'm really in the middle of the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer.
I was going to ask you real quickly that last week, is that like the All-Star break after the All-Star game and having baseball off for a few days. that's always a sign of the middle of summer.
Yeah, I mean, my whole mental outlook is very, you know, like, yeah, I'll get around to it. I mean, I'm really into a little, I mean, lazy, like that old Nat King Cole song. And of course, anyone who's under 50, ooh, Nat King, ooh. But I mean, I'm just in that middle of the summer. It's not the dog days, but it's getting pretty close.
And the thing about it, though, as well, it's nice to come in early. I think we talked about this, where when you're working morning radio and you come in real early when the sun is just coming up, you feel the coolness on your skin, and especially with folks around the country having to deal with incredible swings in the weather in terms of really hot days and severe weather. We are in the sweet spot here in north central Wisconsin. We got to take advantage of that just to feel the coolness, have good nights to sleep in, I tell you.
Yeah, still. I use that word still. We still are able to have that happen. However, when the scientists were talking about last week was the hottest week in the
day
history.
Day after day setting records.
In the history of the world. The world, not, you know, your local deal, the world. And, you know, being of a certain age where I have, you know, seen a lot of things and experienced a lot of things, the one thing that does come up when I watch weather changes is the intensity of especially storms and especially, you know, the lightning, right, and that in various storms. And people go, oh, it was just like, I remember these as just, well, I remember them as a child, but they weren't nearly as intense and not nearly as active electrical wise. And I don't know if there's any like study by meteorologists or that can, but just me from my own eyesight, my own experience, I noticed the difference big time.
You've been out of this business for a while, but I wonder if you're like me. Whenever a storm comes by now, I do worry about the radio station. I don't worry about myself. I worry about the radio station, that something is going to come in, whether it is, as you say, the lightning or even sometimes the heavy rain can cause, and the wind and just the bigness of the storms. Yeah. I worry. I turn on my radio or I make sure that we're still on the air, because you're right. I mean, these kind of storms, it makes me very, very nervous in my position here.
There was, you know, a situation with this same radio station, this same building, and I was working here back in the early 2000s, and we had a heck of a storm that kicked up, and it kicked up, like, you know, in the middle of the night. So, like, even the TV stations really didn't, you know, I mean, they were, well, I might have a chance of a scattered thunderstorm. Well, it built into something more, where we started getting, you know, the emergency reports about tornado watches and tornado warnings that kicked into gear. So here I'm hot down the Grand Avenue flying in to get here, because, you know, I'm listening to the station, all, you know, it's like, you know, it's disappearing. So now I'm got to recharge it. We're losing power. When the power came on, make sure we got things back on. And hitting the microphone, dropping our satellite stuff, and giving the latest information that we had available here.
Yep.
We still had the wire service back then. So I kept trying to, and doing it live at 1:32 in the morning. And then finally the storm lets go. And then I monitored other stations that could care less.
I tell you, though, I mean, as a broadcaster, the adrenaline gets going in those situations. Mm-hmm. You know it's important. You really do. And you're getting all that information. You're trying to, again, try to get everything out there that you possibly can. And when it's done, it's almost like, holy cow, there's like, your body has really just, you know, it is important.
Yes.
It is vitally important.
Well, I was in this building on 9/11. That morning when 9/11 occurred. And a lot of people forget that was something that occurred, you know, in the morning hours.
Yep.
And the FM station here was running a syndicated program.
Bob and Sherry, right?
Right. Bob and Sherry.
Remember that.
And the AM was running ESPN radio.
Right, right.
And so this had gone past, you know, like the Mike and Mike show, and now we're into Tony Kornheiser, who was MC or had his show, you know, like in the mid. And this is where, on air, Tony Kornheiser was going, because he was headquartered out of Washington, D.C., where they're telling him, get out of the studio. We got to get out of the studio and down into someplace safe.
Right.
And everything was falling apart around here. The, you know, the syndication stuff was like, didn't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And so here I am, you know, the only live person, you know, in the building at that particular time of the day. And I patched up ourselves into the ABC television network, you know, with Peter Jennings.
Yeah.
Because they went solid, you know, and that was the only source that I could go to because of the formats that we had. We weren't a news station.
Yep.
And that. And so I popped that, and then I went on with some local, you know, information, you know, and we were going to continue this coverage, you know, until we get, you know, more information on what's actually happening. And, you know, we kicked this into gear, and we had a little black and white portable TV in that one room. Mm-hmm. And I turned it on, and just as I turned it on, that was when the second plane hit.
Yep.
The building. And the first thing I did was I called my wife, and you know, she was at work, and she answered the phone, you know, and I says, honey, we're at war. I says, just, you know, be cool and that, you know, I'm at work and this is very serious stuff. I'm sure people are going to start going in there, but just let them know that, you know, I'm keeping an eye on it for you. If there's anything important, I'll let you know. And it was like, whoo. And that's where local radio is so important.
Yes, it is. And serious stuff. We got to take a quick time out, 2-minute break, come back. But serious stuff, because sometimes it feels like even the folks that are our elected representatives, it's not where they're looking at almost like what what can this do for me instead of what it can do for the people? And I kind of want to touch on that, and then we'll talk about some other issues that are in the news here as we get a chance to kind of bounce around a lot of different topics in our number one on our Wednesday here with Bob Look. The time is 8:15. I'm Chad Holmes. Again, a beautiful start here in central Wisconsin. Fair skies and 63 degrees. We'll have more coming up on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wednesday morning, July the 19th, the time is 8:18, 63 degrees under fair skies. Joined by Bob Look in studio here on this every other Wednesday, talking about, I think, priorities and importance. And I saw a story last week where Mark Cuban announced he's not running for president. And I thought, we're not serious anymore, because it feels as though everybody is really looking about how they can expand their own brand instead of what is best for this country. Even I was been talking the last couple of days about the no labels, and it just feels like another grift to me where people are able to make a lot of money, get their name out there, put themselves in a position to make a lot of money. Even folks who have served in Congress, they retire, they go into lobbying, make a lot of money. The lack of seriousness about true service. And I'm not sure what you do, because we live in this almost celebrity society that even in a serious time, and it's not, and you're talking about 9/11, in the big picture, that's not that long ago. And we've had so many other issues, and I think you can talk about, you know, the weather and climate. We have these issues that need to be focused on, and yet we live in this culture, this 24/7 news culture that is not about important news, but about clicks and about what is the most, what they call interesting, as opposed to true service. And I've been trying to kind of wrap my mind around this recently, and it's very difficult, because right now we're in this cycle where there is a almost a lack of seriousness in a lot of ways. Do you sense that, or any kind of connection with that?
I don't think it's a lack of seriousness. I think it's a lack of attention. The short attention spans kind of have been born out from, you know, back, you know, not that long ago, when you'd be watching television, you'd have to actually get up out of your chair to change the channel. Yeah. And you normally had all of three. Some areas of the state was, you know, back in the state, it was only two.
Right.
That you could get. I mean, you
even around here, it was tough to get NBC, because it was always the
Rhinelander.
Right. You know, I mean, you'd have to work those rabbit ears pretty good to get NBC here in central Wisconsin.
I mean, you know, growing up in Milwaukee, gosh, I was absolutely spoiled. In fact, we could actually watch UHF, you know, right. Channel 18 back then. But the point being is that people want information, or they want something quick. You know, how many times you're driving down the road, I'm kind of hungry. Where do you go? You go through a drive-thru. And then when you go through a drive-thru and you order something, and then they go, well, it may take you about 5 minutes, and then wait a minute.
It's like,
skip that. I'll have just a cheeseburger instead. You know, where the art of just taking things as they come, and also an important story or to follow something important, people get the early information, the early, you know, either headline or whatever, and that right away stays in their mind as that's the only bit of the news or that issue I need to know. When there's further up, saying, well, it's just like the correction page on the newspapers where they had the big headline, And where do they put the, if they have it, something that's an error, they put it in like the last page down in the corner. Oh, by the way, our headline was incorrect, so we're sorry about that.
Back in the day, that would be on like page 23. What? Nowadays, it's on page 3 because it's only 3 pages.
Yeah. It's a sheet of paper, one side and the other side, you know. So, I mean, people, I think the short attention span is a lot to do with people not diving into things a little bit more deeper. In fact, I'm kind of working a story, and we've talked about this, where I write a little thing like a weekly, the sure. Brew Crew review. But I'm asking some kind of serious questions about the injury that Rowdy Tellez got. You know, where
doesn't
he ended
up. Cringe when you heard about that? I mean, just when you hear about that, it's like cringe.
I mean, you know, he's. Tears up of his ring finger on his left hand. Well, he's on the injured list. And he's out in the outfield chasing fly balls. This is what they say. Chasing fly balls. Now, I've watched Rowdy Tellez play for quite a while. He does not seem to be the kind of person that really wants to run. I've watched him run bases. And I've seen him, like, go back or they make a throw at him when he's leading off of first base and he's looking at the pitcher going, why are you throwing here? I'm fat. You know, I shouldn't be, you know. And he even jokes about it.
Right, right.
But the point is, he did that in everyone who's been on the road trip didn't see that incident. And when a player gets hurt on the field, even if it's in warm-ups, there's a lot of eyes out there. That'll, especially the kind of injury that he did end up suffering. It's not one of these things where you just go, oh, I'll just shake it off. It was something serious. So I'm not accusing anything, but I think there's more to the story. And that's what I'm trying to get a little more facts
about. And the thing about it, as you said, is so often people do focus on the headlines and don't delve in and get the true facts, and with so much misinformation out there, it can sometimes be very difficult to change perception. Right. And
now, just use that as an example, but we can take it a little further with people who make a comment going, oh, the economy is horrible.
We're heading to a recession.
A recession.
How many times have we heard that in the last year?
I'm going, wait a second. Oh, my God, the price of gas. And, you know, the price of gas right now is $1.30 a gallon less than it was 1 year ago.
But, I mean, people were saying for the last, I think, 18 months, the recession is coming. In fact, this is kind of off, really off kilter. I was watching the World Series of Poker final table, and they had one of the commentators, and they had a record field for the main event. Mm. And one of the commentators, they were trying to say, why are there more people this year? And one of the commentators saying, boy, it's incredible that we have more than 10,000 people breaking the record, and we're in the midst of a recession. And I wanted to tear my hair out, but this is just some, you know, it's a poker player who's an analyst, and she's saying, yeah, I can't believe it. We've been going through a recession, and yet people are still spending $10,000 to be in this tournament. Yeah. And I screamed at the television. Yeah. I was like, I mean, it's just, there's so much poor information out there, and I'm sure this person, because you heard about it over and over and over again over the past year, that the economy's going down, and every time there'll be a new financial report or jobs report, better than expected. I mean, you start to wonder again when you talk about, you know, what is the real story? Why are these people keep saying this?
Because they don't want things to be positive. They don't want things to be positive at this point in time. Professor Robert Reich, who served in the Clinton administration, and he lays it, and this guy knows his stuff.
Yes, he does.
You know, and I'm not just saying it because of, you know his political ties and what have you, but tell me what he's saying is wrong. When he points out the true measurement of the economy is jobs and wages. And when you break it on down, You know, and says these companies keep, well, the labor force, I mean, it's costing so much. You are making record profits. Mm-hmm. Why isn't some of that going back to the people who help make those profits for you? And this is getting back to the arguments that I remember back in the 60s where machine shops would be going on strike because the machine shop just down the road, they had a new contract and they did a raise of X number, you know, like 50 cents an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this other one, well, we're in the contract talking, oh, we'll give you 25 cents. Well, wait a minute, the guy's down the road giving us 50 cents an hour for the, well, we can't afford that. Okay, what happens? You put a vote to it, and then the people decide they want to go on strike, and it doesn't take very long, and then suddenly the business, yeah, well, we'll cover that, you know, 50 cents is fine. But the point is, if the employer is not going to walk out and say, here, we're going to give you, more because you're doing such a great job, mm-hmm. they might give you those fake bonuses.
Right.
You're doing such a heck of a job. You're not only going to be program director here, but we're going to make you operations manager of the stations. Oh, great. What does that mean to my paycheck? Oh, we're not going to pay anything more. We just got a bigger, nice new title.
We have to take a quick timeout for a news update. We'll come back with Bob Look. More to come. The time is 8:28. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
Be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies and walked off to look for a man.
Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is 8:33. Coming up in the second hour, Tammy Stasinski from the Grand Theater and Performing Arts Foundation. We'll talk about what's going on with the Grand as tickets are being sold for the next season, but there's still shows going on downtown Wausau. Again, we are spending the first hour talking about issues with Bob. Look, Bob, one thing I wanted to talk about today. Yesterday, I was talking about Dave Obey. Because, yeah. You know, in this business, you know, mm-hmm. I remember back when Obey was still in office and I would be doing some news coverage and all the time be sent out. You got to go over, Dave Obey's got an event over at a college, right. Or at a business or somewhere else, because he would be bringing back some funding for a project here in Central Wisconsin. And I was saying yesterday, I have not seen one of those from Tom Tiffany or any of the state representatives around here in Central Wisconsin. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Wisconsinites put in more money into the system with their tax dollars than they get back. You know, you look at it where the states that put in more money and get less, and those states that put in less money and get back more, tend to be, again, you know, some, you hear about Republicans talking about freeloaders, a lot of their voters, but I think we fail to appreciate a guy like Obey, because, I mean, I'm sure back, you know, when you were working in radio, you get the same releases, wow. And you send a news person over there, and Dave Obey would bring back the bacon, and pork barrel spending has this connotation, but in my mind, this is a guy that's working for the folks in Central Wisconsin, giving a university funding for a program that they need, giving business funding for some sort of program that they need. It feels like, again, we're missing something with our representatives who are not fighting for us and bringing back, you know, the tax dollars we put into the system.
Well, not only that, but I remember, you know, things that where Obey would be bringing things that benefited the local farmers.
Yes.
That, I mean, it was all this, but the thing.
And he was so proud of it. When Republicans and conservatives would say, oh, it's all pork, he would stand up, put his chest out there and say, hey, this is my job.
But this is, you know, to help the people that you represent.
Exactly.
And that's not just, it's not a handout. It's more or less, it's kind of making the playing field a little more level.
And the whole point of this, I'm sorry to interrupt you because I got really kind of passionate about this. Mm-hmm. The whole point of the way that we do things, because when you hear, you know, the Robin Vosses and the Tim Michaels talking about, you know, tax cuts, the idea of the whole tax system is in order to, you know,
to reinvest.
Exactly. And I think Obie, more than any of the people that we've had in government around here over the last, you know, 50 years, knew that better than anybody.
Well, he also had the benefit of his time in Congress where he had a large seniority.
Yep.
He was, you know, in charge of some big committees in Congress. And so, and he didn't get that way just by being a Democratic representative. It was the kind of guy who worked in within the Congress, developed relationships with members of the opposite opinion to find, you know, a common goal to help people.
Win-win situations, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there was none of this, oh, that's a Democratic idea or that's a Republican idea. No, they just said, hey, wouldn't it be great if we would lower insulin prices to a cap it at $35 rather than letting the drug companies and that, you know, charge $300, $400 way above the cost of what it takes to even make that, you know, because it's for the health of the citizens. It's a life or death product. How that is carrying a profit margin and getting away with it, to me, is unconscionable. You know, there's plenty of other therapeutic things that the drug companies can go out there, you know, case in point, Viagra, case in point, other types of things that, you know, are not necessary. Mm-hmm. But if people, you know, if this helps them in what they want to try to achieve, how's that for dancing around?
I that was good. That it shows you've been around microphones a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to, you know, just to be nice about it.
Right,
but the point being is, when it's life or death type medical medicines or medical procedures, to not make it available to the people of this country so that they can live rather than die, that seems to be a pretty easy question to answer, but somehow it doesn't.
And it comes back to what you were saying before about, you know, when you look at the ultimate the profit margins, there's some disgusting. I understand that in business and in our system that profits are important, but boy, when it comes to medicine. And I was reading an article recently about you know, the battles we have within our medical system and insurance, and how, you know, basically if we were to start all over again, we would not draw it up the way that we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're talking about what is the ultimate goal of hospitals and even insurance and all that, it's to help people get well when they get sick. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the priorities, where does that stand in the current system? It's pretty far down, because it comes down to, again, you call them businesses. What can they show their stockholders? I mean, that's always number one. That is number one in our system, and that's a sad state of affairs.
One of the things that helps, though, is competition. Yeah. And monopolies are taking over more and more. I always circle back in the broadcast industry because I was right in the middle of it. It was 1995 when the Telecommunications Act was passed and signed into law. And the reason why I kept an eye on it closer is because I was working in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. The senator who was the chairman of that committee in the Senate was Senator Larry Pressler of South Dakota. And he, you know, got that thing through, and he was also being funded big time for elections and everything from telecommunication industry people as far as deregulating the broadcasting, but also everything telecommunications. Mm-hmm. So it was turning a lot of competition into the stronger ones could buy up the weaker ones and build their market, you know, and just basically monopoly was developed. Well, Senator Pressler lost his re-election in 96, and he also suddenly was sitting on the chairman of the board for a couple of telecommunications, had $1 million a year, thanking probably him for his efforts in getting this through. And I still remember when that was signed, I was working for a station that suddenly had a staff meeting like the day after to inform us that they were being bought and they were buying stations in another part of the state. And suddenly now it's, you know,
you'd be consolidating
fire
jobs,
drill times. Right? Yes. Yeah.
What you remember back in the day when you know you were starting, even back when I was starting, places like this would be just bustling with people.
Yep.
You know,
I remember being here, you know, with you know, a staff of salespeople. We had news reporter. You know, you would have live disc jockeys
24/7.
So if there would be that, you know, storm at 2 a.m, there was actually somebody in the building mm-hmm. who could, and if they were being swamped because it was like freaking out, they would call up the news director mm-hmm. or whatever to give them a hand to make sure that the listeners and the public, because the one thing that always radio station owners and people don't appreciate is that the FCC regulates over-the-air broadcasting to what? Serve the communities that they're licensed to, not something else. That's why carrying local sports is important. Talking about local issues, you're doing here, and what Civic Media is trying to do with throughout the stations in the their various our markets, to put a pinpoint. Because first of all, what local daily paper is there right now here in Wausau proper that covers village board meetings, city council meetings, school board meetings, you know, public safety? I mean, getting stuff into so people can at least be aware of what is being done by their local government.
Isn't it amazing, though, what, you know, I think it all comes down to, I think, a sense of deregulation. Because deregulation, if you look back, you know, I think there was a definite fault line back mm-hmm. in 1980 when Reagan became president, and based on trickle down and based on deregulation and everything else. And I think we're going to need fighters in the next decades to make sure that people have outlets for jobs that are fulfilling. Because, you know, you talk about newspapers. It's not because the reporters decided this is what we don't want to cover this anymore. It's because, again, you have these huge corporations that are serving their stockholders, and they got to have good reports every quarter in order to continue, you know, to fund themselves. And the same thing with broadcast entities and everything else. And now we have, I think, technology continues to be a major factor with this AI, where they're going to try to use that to, again, take away. I mean, when you look at the hundreds of millions of people that are in this country, and it feels as though every turn they're trying to take away opportunities. We need champions, you know, in order to protect the people. And I still don't know if we have. I think, you know, a guy like Biden has done a wonderful job in terms of being a union guy and along those lines. But boy, I think we're in an era that is rather scary, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't want to be a 20-year-old at this time.
No, I would. I'd like to be a 20.
Well, I mean,
I know. Yeah, I'm making light of it.
But
now.
I mean, I'm just trying to survive and make sure radio sticks around until I, you know, keel over at some point.
Well, again, it's going to be one of those things that the marketplace is going to either help or hurt it. I mean, how important is it for people to have that ability to check out their what their local teams are doing, and again back years ago, you get hired as a program director for a radio station, right? Well, then when deregulation happened, you were a program director not just for a station, but for the group of like six or eight stations within a marketplace. You are overseeing all of them. And a lot of times, you don't have the individual air staffs. You've got one or two or three announcers that voice track the other stations. There is no, you know, disc jockey that, you know, back in the days that you always like just follow. And
real quickly, I think that, you know, losing those daily newspapers that would have a focus on what's happening with the school board or the city council, the county board, or even a daily feature on a student athlete, which we used to see on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'd learn more. That's formed a sense of community where we all have a common knowledge about what's going on. Nowadays, I don't think you'd have that same sense of community because people don't have that sense of common knowledge either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where I grew up, again, they didn't have broadcasts of high school sports because I'm in suburban Milwaukee.
Right.
So there was no, you know, now you have with local cable systems and things of that nature, they might, you know, have local
game,
you know,
of the week or something like that.
You know, something like, at least something like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But the point being is that when you're in the smaller towns and that throughout the state, those things are important. I mean, what was more important than going to your Friday night football game in a community of, say, you know, 8,000 or less people? You know, I remember, you know, my high school games when I played where it was, you know, standing room only, and there's people about four or five deep around from the 20-yard lines to the goal lines and into the end zones to come to watch the arch rivals Cudahy Packers take on the South Milwaukee Rockets.
And when people tell you about it with a newspaper article or a story on the radio or on television, it gives people another reason to go out and see the game and to come together with their community. Because I think it is a circle that if you don't know about it, then you don't care about it. And then if you don't care about it, you're not going to come out and support it. So, again, I think that we're losing with as you say, these regional program directors as opposed to focusing on one radio station and doing the best of your ability in order to service them.
Yeah, speaking of high school, I got my 50th reunion, 50th year coming up at the end of this month.
Well, I got my 35th coming up.
So, soon, 50 years. So we're going to see a bunch of geezers. You know,
but the thing
talking
is,
about the good old days.
Some people, though, in your life, you cannot see somebody for years. And when you do see them, it's almost like it's like yesterday.
I know.
And you just get back into the rhythm, right?
I know the guys from the football team, the baseball teams. I mean, it's going to be like, you know, we just continued the conversation we did. It's like 40-some years ago, you know. It's just
again, it's common experience and, you know, things that bring people together. So
yeah.
I think that's, you know, something that we have to keep an eye on as, you know, technology continues to develop and everything else, that community is so vitally important. Mm-hmm. We got to take another quick break. We're going to come back a few more minutes with Bob Look as we continue here on this Wednesday, Hump Day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. A lot of folks dreaming about becoming a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying to you that you could win it and become a minority owner in a sports team. Because, again, it's insane that, you know, people talk about this, you know, $1 billion chance to win with Powerball. But if you want to buy a professional sports team, it's insane. I mean, I think the Washington Commanders were sold for like $6 billion recently. And real quickly, again, the super rich are getting out of control because the guy that is going to be the lead person with this new Washington ownership group, should it go through, he already owns or partly owns the New Jersey Devils, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Crystal Palace Premier League soccer team in England. It's insane. I mean, do these guys just, you know, sit in these, you know, their mansions with $50 billion around? I mean, it's, again, the gap is so, when I look at sports and the ownership, it's insane, because I read history. Connie Mack could hardly keep the doors open back in the first half of the 20th century. Now these guys, it's insane how much these teams are, yeah, are going for.
It's something that we as normal everyday people can't comprehend, that kind of wealth and that. And you also go, you know, look at the PGA Tour, mm-hmm, and the LIV Tour, and having the Saudis basically bankrolling everything. And
the public investment fund that they have. Yeah, I mean, the amount of money in their public investment fund that they can kind of, you know, just take a little out and hand off to golfers and everybody else. It's obscene.
Yeah. You know, if for some reason I was a pro golfer, and I never will be, but I would have
You're wearing the Callaway hat. I mean, you're looking the part here this morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wear it only because my hair looks like junk this morning.
The old radio trick.
Turn on the hat. You want to wash it before you? Heck no.
Hey, we're on radio.
Exactly. If you're doing this as a public access, well, then maybe I might put some effort into it.
I know.
Right now, it's sweatpants and a T-shirt. Get over it. But, the comprehension of what money's worth. I've always, in my mind, I always want enough to get by and to be able to have a little fun. That's basically all I'm looking for.
Exactly.
And if I can pass this on to other, you know, people, you know, when there's charities or there's things that are out there. In fact, I just got contacted the other day. They're having a little fundraising deal down in Madison for the Madison Junior Hockey Program.
Sure.
And with my connection with the Badger hockey team, they wanted to just get a hold of me and say, would you like to record a little, you know, deal or something for us? What day is it? Mm-hmm. And they told me, and I said, how about if I show up? I'd be happy to. Not like I've got other things. You know, I could be doing other things.
Right.
But I've got the time to do it, and I'd love to just be there, because if it helps out getting equipment to families who want their children or their kids to play the game that I love so much. You know, I don't care if it's Wausau or whether it's Madison or wherever. And again, if it's a kid in Wisconsin, you've got a special spot in my heart. I want to see them get as far as they can.
We got a couple of minutes, about 2 minutes to go, and you talk about your Brew Crew review. And got to say, it was a good start to the post-All-Star break for the Brewers in Cincinnati, winning 3 in a row. They lost 4-3 last night, but still, Cincy now lost 6 in a row, and the Brewers 2.5 games up.
But I'll tell you what. Gosh, can we see another replay of that Ellie Dela Cruz stealing 3 bases?
I saw that, and I'm going to say that I felt negative about what you put out, because I think this guy has been so exciting, and it's great that he's going to Cincinnati, providing some excitement for a market that has not seen it in a while.
Not arguing that point.
And he's also, when he was called up, they started winning. So, I mean, there's nothing that I think you can complain about when it comes to Dela Cruz.
I'm not complaining about Dela Cruz. I'm complaining about the media covering baseball.
The media.
Covering baseball, that they focus in on this one guy. Hey, you know those 6 games that they played against the Brewers? Well, they lost 5 of them.
But I think you're being a little bit. Yeah, you're a little concerned about the guys wearing
of course,
the jerseys that you like.
Of course,
but again, generally, you know, they're in pretty good shape.
Now, if Dela Cruz would have stole those 3 bases against the Yankees,
then show it all the time,
or right? The Cubs, I'd have it on a rewind and just watch it over and over and over and over.
And and I saw that you were a little annoyed that Steve Stricker didn't get more publicity after winning again. again. Because the man is amazing, isn't he? Him and Langer are both amazing. I mean, Langer being almost 65 years old or whatever he is.
Yeah.
And because you're supposed to win your tournaments when you're 50, 51, 52, and then the new guys come in and take over.
Yeah,
but both Stricker and Langer have just been incredible with their staying power.
Yeah, I hope that Steve, this runs even a little bit more, because if there is a guy and has such a great family and such a wonderful individual. Mm. Folks, he is that good of a guy. In fact, after he won after he played in the U.S. Senior Open, had some buddies who were up in Minocqua coming back, and they bumped into him at one of these places picking up some
gloves. We got to wrap it up for hitting the hard jump. But Bob, we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
All right.